All right, so I just want to say good morning. In case you guys haven't caught on, my name is Brother Kobe. I'm one of the directors. I should probably not have a speaker right in front of me. I'm one of the directors here at camp this week. And our theme for this week, it's all over your shirt. It's all over my shirt. We've been talking about it. Our theme is going to be coming up. It is devoted. It is devoted. And if you are like me and you've spent a whole lot of time reading the Bible or maybe just a whole lot of time in church, then you've heard of a lot of different things that were devoted to the Lord. Like a lot of times it's just like stuff that's devoted to the Lord. And I just kind of wondered what was the whole point of all this stuff being devoted to the Lord. And so I thought we should do the right thing, and we're going to be checking out, looking into the Word of God to see what was the point of all of these things being devoted to God. So before we get there, we have one more slide. This next one is just so you can see the dog that was there. He was behind the picture the whole time. He's very cute. Everybody say, aw. Okay, thank you. All right, next. So we're going to be looking at a bunch of different things in the Bible this morning that are devoted to the Lord and see what we can learn. See, what's the whole point of this stuff being devoted to God? And as we go along, you're going to realize this wasn't just stuff. I just decided this is the Lord's music stand. It wasn't things just people decided. It was stuff that God chose. Stuff that God said, I want that. I want you to set that aside for me. And we're going to try and see why God picked the things that he picked. And we might learn that he was actually trying to teach us something with the very things that he chose to be claimed as his own. Okay? So that's what we're going to be looking into. So let's just pray that we can learn well from God's word as we dive in. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here. I thank you that you inspired the writing of your word, the Bible. I pray that you would open our minds and open our hearts to receive what it is you want to teach us from your word this morning. I pray that you'd use me as a vessel just to teach well, to communicate your truths to these sons and daughters out here tonight, and that you would be glorified in it all. And everybody said, amen. All right, guys. So right off the bat, anybody want to take a stab? Any guesses? What was the very first thing that God said should be devoted to him? What did he set aside for himself in the Bible? First thing. What was it? All the people's love?
Yeah.
That's not, so that's a good one, but it's not the first one we read about. Right in Genesis, very beginning.
Let there be light.
Let there be light. He made light. What he set aside was the seventh day. He made all creation in 6 days, and on the seventh day, says he rested, and he blessed that day, and he made it holy. Let's read what it says exactly. Genesis 2, on the seventh day, God had completed his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, and he blessed that day and declared it holy. It is holy, for he rested from all his work of creation. So this is the very first thing that he made special. So we should be paying some extra attention to that. The seventh day. Let's try and figure out why he would set apart a day for himself. So this is something that is called the Sabbath. Everybody say Sabbath.
Sabbath.
Now, the Jews take their Sabbath on Saturday, and we Christians have moved our Sabbath pretty much to Sunday because that was the day that Jesus rose from the grave. So we want to celebrate that. And so that's usually when a lot of Christians take their Sabbath. And so that's something you may have encountered in your life. But we're going to see if there's a little bit more detail on this Sabbath time that makes it so special. So we're going to look at the Ten Commandments and see what we're supposed to do with our Sabbath. What are we supposed to do with our Sabbath? This is out of Exodus 20. It says this, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work. Great, 6 days to do our work. But on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work. You must not do any work. Your son must not do any work. Your daughter, your male and female servants must not do any work. Also, your livestock, keep those goats in check, okay? Your livestock can't do any work. nor the resident alien who is within your gates. That just means like someone who's from out of town and is living there. It's not like, you know, aliens. It's just a visitor, okay? So they're not allowed to work either on the Sabbath. The Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them on 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. Okay, so now we got some like pretty serious rules here. We're getting an idea. This day is special. We're not supposed to work. Nobody at all. Not you, not your cousin, not your cousin's mom's cow. All right? Like none. Nobody's working. Okay? So, but don't you guys think that we should like make some extra rules just to make sure that we really keep it holy, because we really want to honor God with this, right? So how about we make some extra rules about the Sabbath? Wait, time out. Jesus has something to say about the Sabbath. We should check in on that first. So we're going to go to Mark. Here's what happened in this verse. Jesus was with his disciples, and they were out for a walk, and they're walking, and they're talking, and as they're going, they're just picking up pieces of grain as they go by and munching on it. And someone goes, "Hey, stop that. You're breaking the law of the Sabbath. It's the Sabbath. You cannot be picking food." And Jesus responded in this way. Let's see what he said. Then Jesus told them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. What? What could that mean? Let's think about it a minute. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So I think Jesus is trying to help us understand something. Is the point of the Sabbath that we follow the rules? No, the point of the Sabbath is that it's supposed to teach us something. What is the Sabbath supposed to teach us? The Sabbath is supposed to teach us that our time, every breath we take, every minute we spend, every second that passes, our time, does that belong to you? To me? That belongs to God. Our time belongs to God. And we should just be reminded of that every single week when we take that one day, that Sabbath day, that 24 hours where we're not working, we are resting, we are enjoying God, enjoying His people. The Sabbath tells us that our time belongs to God. And so, I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but here in America, do you think we're good or bad at doing Sabbath? So many thumbs up, thumbs down, good or bad? Oh, that's like all the thumbs down. Yeah, I agree. I think you're right. We are really bad at doing the Sabbath here in America. And so, if your family doesn't have a day of the week somewhere where you guys take time not to be doing work and just to rest, I would encourage you, when you guys go back home, talk to your parents about it. Say, "We learned about the Sabbath. Do we do a Sabbath with our family?" Maybe ask them why not. Find a time when you guys can rest and remind yourselves that your time belongs to God. And so, God showed us His amazing power in creation. And then the first thing He teaches us about being devoted to Him is that He devotes time. Time belongs to Him. And so, do you think you get it? Time belongs to God, right? That makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because He's going to take it to another level now. All right, He wasn't done with time. You ready? Here's some more. God listed that all the people and all the animals weren't allowed to work on the Sabbath, but He had something else to add to the list, and it's this. Says, "The Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai. He said, 'Speak to the Israelites and tell them, when they enter the land I am giving you, the land will observe a Sabbath for the Lord.'" So not just the people and the goats and the cows. The land is going to have a Sabbath rest. "You may sow your fields for 6 years. You may prune your vineyards and gather its produce for 6 years. But there will be a Sabbath of complete rest for the land on the seventh year." The year of Sabbath to the Lord. You're not supposed to sow your fields. You're not supposed to plant crops. You're not supposed to trim your vineyards. And you're not supposed to harvest grapes. It's going to be a year of total rest for the land. The land? Does that seem weird to you guys? The land isn't a person. It's not an animal. But God said it should rest. Now, here's why this was a big deal for the Israelites, right? They weren't allowed to plant crops. This was a big deal, number one, because everybody was a farmer, pretty much. That was like everybody's job. So that means nobody was working for like a whole year. Isn't that a crazy idea? Like a whole year of not doing any work? Can you think of your parents doing that? But they did this so that the land could have the rest that God said. The second problem is a farming is how you get food to eat, right? They needed something to eat. God told them they were allowed to go and gather whatever grew up on its own. So they were okay. They had food to eat. But God is trying to teach them that the land that they live on, the space they occupy, they may call it Israel. We own it, Israel. This is Israel's land. Or we would say America. This is America's land. But who does it really belong to? It belongs to God. It's something He gives us to take care of. And He says a part of taking care of it would be to give it that Sabbath rest. Our time belongs to God. Our land, the space we exist in, belongs to God. He showed His power in creation. God also picked one place, even though He owns all the places, picked one place to be extra special where He was going to live. Anybody know what that's called? Even more specific, big building? Not Bethlehem, that's where Jesus was born. It's called the temple. It was the temple. He had King Solomon build Him a temple to live in. And this was going to be a very special place. It was going to be special for two reasons. One, it was where God was going to live. Two, it was where God's people could come to meet with the Holy God. Two very important things about the temple. And so, we're going to talk about this is the Israelites dedicating the temple to God. They devoted it to Him, and it goes like this. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 3, all the elders of Israel came, and the priests picked up the ark, and the priests brought the ark of the Lord's covenant into its place in the temple, in the inner sanctuary, in the most holy place beneath the wings of the cherubim. When the priests came out of the holy place, the cloud of the Lord's presence filled the temple. Everybody say, whoosh. The Lord moved into the temple. And because of the cloud, because God moved in, there was no room for the priests to be there. They could not stand to be in there. They couldn't even be in there worshiping and offering sacrifices. They had to leave. God had moved in so powerfully with His presence. So God moved into the temple, and the priests could not even stand. So now God had a place to meet His people, a very special place. And God used this for a really important purpose. The temple is there to teach us this next thing that we understand about devotion to God. And that has to do with everything that we would experience when we would come to the temple to worship. All right? So I need you guys, like, pull out your imagination caps, right? Pop those on. All right? We need some serious imagination power. We're going to imagine that we were back in the Bible time, that you and I, we're going to go visit the temple. We're going to go to worship God at the temple. And I'm going to talk you through what you're going to be hearing, smelling, tasting, feeling, seeing. Engage all your senses with your imagination here, all right? Walk through this with me. So you came all the way from your homeland to go to this one place where God lives, the very special place. You brought your sacrifice. This is going to be a sheep that you brought with you the whole way. Maybe you named him Chompy, right? And it's uphill the whole way there. You climbed up this hill, so you're sweating. And you get there, but before you're able to go into the temple, you're supposed to dunk yourself completely in water and be washed. So everybody say sploosh on three. One, two, three, sploosh. All right, so you come up out of the water. You are sopping, soaking wet. You grab Chompy, and you make your way in. Maybe you're just dripping, dripping, dripping. And as you come into the temple, here's what the temple looked like. You can look up here at this picture. You walk in this first gate and you see a huge courtyard. The biggest patio you've seen in your entire life. And you know you're here to make a sacrifice. So you walk in through the next gate into this outer court here. As you walk in there, you're walking through these big doors. It's so beautiful. It's decorated with amazing, amazing things. And you are so excited to go to God. As you walk in, you see people everywhere. Many of them are praying. Some are standing and worshiping. Some are kneeling and praying. You see the beauty of the temple. There's brass and gold and shiny things and woodworking all over the place. More gold than you have seen in your entire life. And you say, wow, what a wonderful God. You hear the people praying. You hear also on the other side of the courtyard, one of the priests is teaching out of the scriptures. What you smell a little bit of smoke. You smell this animal right next to you, and the animals that all the other people brought in, they're a little stinky, but they're here to be sacrificed to God. And then if you would move through the next gate, what you would see is the inner courts. The first thing you see is this giant altar with a huge fire on it. And there's animal sacrifices being burned on top of it, and there's smoke billowing from it. You smell the burning flesh. You smell the blood from the animals that were killed, and it's just sprinkled everywhere. The blood is so strong. You go up to the priest and you offer your sacrifice. You pray that your sin would go on Chompy, and the priest kills him and roasts him on the altar. You taste some of that meat that you eat as part of the sacrifice. You smell that sweet cooking. Then if you were allowed to go even further in, you would go past through these doors, through these giant pillars, and you'd go inside. Only the priests are allowed in here. So now we have to pretend we're a priest, okay? You walk in, and everything you see is real, solid gold. And you smell cedar. The smell is overwhelming, and you smell sweet incense burning, something that you only ever smell at the temple. And your mouth would start to water because you would also smell freshly baked bread sitting on the inside on your right. You look in front of you and you see a huge, beautiful curtain standing between you and the presence of a holy God. Guys, this was quite an experience to come and visit the temple. All of your senses are engaged. Your smell, your taste, your touch, your sight, your hearing. Worshiping God has always been a powerful experience, but at the temple, God told them exactly how to build everything, exactly how to do the sacrifices, so that when people would come and worship Him, they would have a full body experience with engaging with God. And so God is showing us that to be devoted to Him, God is teaching us that He is the Lord of all of our senses. He is the King of how we interact with our world, the King of how we understand the world around us. It belongs to Him. So God showed us His power in creation. Then He taught us that He's the King of our time that we have to be alive. He is the King of the very land and the space that we live in and that we thought we owned. Now He's teaching us that He's the King of how we understand the world. He's the King of our whole reality. So, let's go to our next slide. Wait a minute. What's that doing there? Oh, that's the Infinity Gauntlet. Now let me just take a minute here. I have to admit, I kind of hate to make the comparison between God and what this is happening, but I knew you guys would draw the connection anyway, okay? This is the Infinity Gauntlet. This is the thing that a bad guy in the Marvel movies, Thanos, that's right. He used to collect the Infinity Stones. What do the Infinity Stones control? They control, what's the first thing we talked about? Time. After that, we talked about space. Then, at the beginning of creation, it was power. What is Thanos doing with collecting these power stones? He's trying to become God. He wants to have all the power and all the authority of God. What's the problem with that? He wants all the power of God with none of God's goodness. Some of you said it. His plan was to kill half of everyone that's alive. That's an awful thing to do. But when Thanos collects these stones, that's scary. But when God tells us that He is the one in control of all these things, is that a scary thing? No, God is not evil. He's not here to wipe us out. God wants us to thrive and to live with Him forever. God has all of the power and more than Thanos did. Plus, he is a good, good, loving, kind, generous, all these things we sing in our songs. He is that kind of God. And he uses his power that way, not the way Thanos does. So what are the things we didn't cover yet? We covered a whole bunch. What are the two stones we didn't cover? The mind and the soul, that's right. So the reality, we did talk about that one. Remember, all your senses are engaged at the temple coming to worship? God rules our reality, okay? So, where are we? All right, on to the next thing, the mind. So I need a volunteer, and I'm actually going to take two volunteers. Listen, you will get wet, and you will get messy, and you have to be okay with that. You're going to have to clean up in the bathroom a little bit. Okay, we're going to take one boy and one girl. We're going to do you, miss, with the glasses, yes. And someone kind of tall so we can see. Let's go you in the back, sir. Yep, come on up. Yeah, one more back. Yeah. Okay, so here's the deal. I need you guys to come up, stand on these chairs. Stand on the chair. Very good. Be careful, don't fall. I don't want to get sued. Okay? All right. So what we're going to do now is we are going to reenact how someone would become a priest at the temple. Now, first of all, you had to be a very specific person. You're going to be Aaron. This was Aaron. He was the high priest. He was the main man who was in charge of offering sacrifices to God. And he was the main person that people looked to as this bridge between humanity and God. This is a super important role. That's why we're going to have all this ritual going on here. And then you will be representing Aaron's four sons. Okay? You're four people. All right? So, Aaron and his four sons. They are going to be ordained to be set apart as priests. And it's a very, very important role. So, the first thing that happened as they were ordained is that they were anointed with oil. And they would probably each get a whole pitcher of oil poured on their heads, but I'm not going to get you that wet, so we're just going to do a little bit. So this is the oil anointing Aaron. Uh-huh. Very nice. Anointed. All right. And then the oil anointing Aaron's sons. Yep. There you go. Okay. It would have been much worse, but I'm a generous guy, okay? All right. Then here's the next part. As part of being a priest, you represent the people to God, and you also often represent God to the people. And so, would it be a good thing to have like really sinful people doing that job? No, so we need to make an offering, a sacrifice for their sins. So they would bring an offering as well. They would put their hands on the head of this animal, and it would be, you put your hands on here, so that their sin would be put on the animal, and then the animal would be killed. We would collect the blood, and here we have the blood of our sacrifice. Okay? And here is what was done. I forgot to grab some paper towels. Can Jax, can you run, just grab me a bunch of paper towels? Because it's going to get special here, okay? So, can you uncover your ear for me? Yeah. So what he did is Moses was the one performing this ceremony. He took the blood, and he put it on their right ear. Yep, that's nice. Okay. All right. Let's get your right ear. Everybody, show off your ears. Show off your bloody ears. There you go. Okay. Then he took more of the blood. He put it on their right thumb. Why don't you just roll your right thumb around in there? Yeah. Thumbs up for everybody. All right, you too. All right, and I forgot to pick people in flip-flops. Can you pop off your right shoe for me? Just plop them right there. And your sock, if you can. Oh, that's beautiful. Sorry, I forgot to pay attention to that. All right? Oh, no. And then they put blood on their right big toe. So just kind of... Yeah, there you go. All right, hold up your big toe for everybody. Ew, I don't want All right, listen, please. Okay, so now we have to ask the question why. That was really fun. It's a little less fun when it's actually blood. And I hope you understand this, right? So what is the point of doing this? These people were set apart for a really special role. Oh, and I forgot. The high priest gets a special hat and some special clothes. I was in the ketchup zone and I forgot. Ta-da. Okay. So just to set him apart so everybody knows this is the guy who is leading our worship of God. So what are we learning from this? We're learning. God's trying to show us that from your head, from your ear, from your head to your toes, a priest of the Lord has to be committed to God. They have to understand that everything that they speak with this head, everything they do with these hands, everywhere they go with these feet, is something that the people will see as God doing because they represent God. They know that their whole person is part of representing God to the people. And so their mind and everything has to be devoted. All right, you guys can wipe off real quick and then head to the bathroom and clean up. Thank you. What? Wipe off the ketchup. Well, just because you'll be sticky if you don't, okay? All right, so now listen. That goes for the priests, but for you and me, it still counts today. We don't have priests in the temple anymore. Who are the people who represent God to the world? We are. Everyone who's a Christian, we carry his name, Christ, as a Christian. And so now every one of us has to know, from our head to our ketchup-covered toes, everywhere we go, everything we do, all the things we think and say represent God to the world around us. That's a big deal. Let's read this verse out of Romans 12, chapter 10. Sorry, verse 10. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. It says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor." Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. The first and greatest commandment is that we are to be devoted to loving our God, right? And what's the second one? Love your
neighbor.
Love your neighbor as yourself. That's exactly right. So a big part of loving God is loving others well. And this goes for you guys this week as well. When you're with your cabin mates, I've been watching some of these girls up here up front during worship, holding hands and just worshiping God together, and it has been beautiful. Guys, don't be afraid to get close with your cabin mates, with your counselors. Guys, that's something God is doing. He is uniting us as the body of Christ, of people who go to churches with different names but are part of the one big C church that belongs to Jesus Christ. God is going to bring you guys together this week, and don't fight it. Learn to love each other well. Don't fight each other. Love each other. Then the last thing, if you want to say the last stone, it's called the soul stone. We're calling this our hearts. The last thing God teaches us about devotion is our hearts. Now, I need you guys to know this real quick. This is really important. Whenever your Bible talks about your heart, is it talking about the thing that goes boom, 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 boom in your chest? No. It's not talking about the boom, 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 boom. It's talking about your mind, your feelings, your thoughts, your emotions, your hopes, your dreams, the things you care about, your character, who you are. That's your heart. Your person, your being. And so when God says he wants our heart, he doesn't just want the ba-bum-ba-bum-ba-bum. He wants everything. Here is actually what God has to say about our hearts in 1 Kings. It says, "Let your heart, therefore, be wholly devoted to the Lord God and walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day." Here's the deal, boys and girls. The first couple things we talked about, power, time, space, reality, Those things all belong to God no matter what. No questions asked. There's nothing you can do about it. You have no control. You can try and fight that battle, but you will lose. The only one of these that you have control over is your heart, your mind. God owns everything else, but you get to choose what happens with this. You get to choose who you want to be, who you're going to be, who you put your trust in, who you love. You get to decide if you live for God or if you live for yourself. God is good. He is love. He is generous. He is kind. You can live for God. You can live for yourself. We're going to wrap up here. We're going to take 2 minutes just to sit and listen to our God, talk to God about what your decision you're making with your heart and your mind. Ask Him to show you areas that you have tried to hold on to, but that He wants to be the king of. And we're just going to have this verse up here. Let me read it to you once, and we're going to leave this up as we take these 2 minutes and listen. This is Psalms 139, 23, and 24. It says this, "Search me, God." How many of you know sometimes it's hard to know what's going on in your head? Someone asks you, "What are you thinking?" You go, "Huh." We're asking God to help. "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So let's just take 2 minutes now. Just be quiet and listen to God. Ask Him to show you what's going on in your heart. Take time now. Let's pray. God, thank you that with all the power over all the different parts of our lives that you have, that you are a good and loving and kind God. We pray that you would be working in our hearts so that we could live for you, choose you. Holy Spirit, draw us to yourself. We ask that you would just bless these kids throughout the rest of this week. God, I thank you that you are working in us at all times, God. Pray that you would bless as we go to lunch, that you would bless the food that we're eating, and that we would just be able to glorify you with everything we do here at camp. In Jesus' name, amen.